Please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. I trust this morning you'll be paying extra special attention, knowing we are going to have an opportunity after refreshments for you to share your thoughts and ideas, your insights. Elder Bob Mixner is going to be leading that discussion in the fellowship hall. I'll be doing this similar thing upstairs with a young adult. So I trust as we're going through God's word this morning, as things come to your mind, as you have questions, maybe you can think about how would you apply this in your life? What obstacles do you anticipate? How would you explain this to a non-Christian? How would you put it in your own words? How would you explain it to a young Christian? Maybe you can be thinking of those things and jotting some of those down as we go through God's word together, knowing we're going to have an opportunity not only to share your thoughts and ideas, but also to hear the thoughts and ideas of each other. So with that in mind, let's listen with both ears, as it were, as we hear God's word together. Again, our passage this morning is from Galatians chapter 3, as we consider together how to grow as a Christian. Again, our text is from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's word. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law? Or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the gift of your word, even as we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, and we thank you for all the blessings and gifts that you give us. We pray now, Lord, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that we might recognize and enjoy and give thanks for all these blessings. Father, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you growing as a Christian? I know you're getting older. I mean, we're all getting older. We can't help that. And some of us are getting bigger. I mean, I know I am. It's Thanksgiving week. I'm getting a little bigger. But are you getting better? I mean, as a Christian, are you maturing? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Would people who know you, would they point at you and say, yes, no question about it, you're definitely growing as a Christian? I think the whole subject of Christian growth is somewhat mysterious for many of us. If I were to ask you, what does a person need to do in order to grow, we would probably get all kinds of different answers. Okay, I could ask you, we could do it this morning. I could say, what are the things, what would you recommend to a new Christian or a young Christian who really wants to grow? And we would probably come up with all sorts of different answers. And at first it seemed very simple. Well, you know, read your Bible. Come to worship. Pray. You know, at first it would seem very simple, but then as the list gets longer, you'd begin to realize, well, you know, his answer was different than her answer, and his advice is different than her advice, and pretty soon the list is getting kind of long. And then you have to ask yourself, do you really do all those things? And if you're honest with yourself, I think at least some of us say, well, no, I don't really do all those things, but I'm growing. And I think others, if you're honest, would say, well, I kind of am doing all those things,
but I'm not sure that I am growing. I think if we're honest, Christian growth is not always as simple as we might think. This morning, I want to at least help us grow in our understanding of Christian growth. Okay, I don't want to overcomplicate things, but I do want us to see this morning that we grow as Christians the same way you become a Christian. All right, look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Now, Paul's talking to Christians, of course. He's talking to the Christian churches of Galatia. He's talking to Christian congregations. And yet, he says it's almost as if they've been bewitched. It's almost like they've fallen under a spell. I don't think he means that literally. But what he means is they're not acting like themselves. They're not thinking clearly. Even though they're Christian people, they're Christian congregations, they're thinking and acting foolishly. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Now remember, Paul knows these people and, you know, personally. He's the one who planted these congregations originally throughout Galatia on his first missionary journey. And he says, you know, "I was there and face to face before your eyes, I portrayed to you Jesus Christ crucified." And remember, we've said that's the good news of the gospel. The good news is the gospel is not primarily about you and one more thing you've got to do. The gospel is primarily about Jesus and who he is and what he's already done for you. That's what makes it such good news. That's what makes it so exciting and renewing and refreshing, is the gospel is all about Jesus and who he is and what he's already done for you. Specifically, Jesus died on the cross in our place, okay, for our sin, to take the punishment of our pride and our guilt, so that God's blessings and peace might come to you for free. That's the good news. That's what we call the gospel, is that Jesus suffered on the cross in our place so that God's blessings and peace might come to you for free. But now, it's as if the Galatians have forgotten that. Not that they've literally forgotten who Jesus was or that they literally forgotten that he had died, but it's as if they've taken their eyes off of Jesus and begun to focus on something else. We often do that. We often take our eyes off of Jesus as if something else is more exciting, more urgent, more pressing, more attractive, more interesting. We often take our eyes off of Jesus and put them on something else as if something else is somehow more significant, more vital, more important, more urgent. In this case, the Jewish Christians of Galatia were being tempted to take their eyes off of Jesus and focus on themselves and the things they had to do and the things they thought they had to do. Well, there were at least three things that the Jewish Christians thought they needed to do. The first category would be man-made traditions. The rabbis added some man-made traditions that eventually became part of Judaism. For example, according to Jewish tradition, if you touch the Bible, you then have to go wash your hands. Well, God doesn't say that, but that had become part of Jewish tradition, that the Bible is so holy and we're not, that by touching it, you're made unclean, and after you've read the Bible, you need to go wash your hands. God doesn't say that, but that was a man-made rule that had become part of Jewish tradition. So there were Jewish traditions that we know we don't have to follow. Then there was what we call the ceremonial law. Aspects of God's law God gave to the Jewish people during the Old Testament times. They were part of the ceremonial or sacramental life of Israel. Like sacrificing a lamb or a goat or a bull or two doves or another animal during certain parts of the year. That was part of the sacramental, the sacramental or the ceremonial life of Israel. We don't have to do that anymore because that's been fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who died on the cross for us to bear our sin and our guilt. So we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. Okay? So the man-made traditions, we don't have to worry about. We don't have to do. Ceremonial law, we don't have to do. That's been fulfilled by Christ. And then, of course, there's what we call the moral law, like the Ten Commandments. Okay? You shall not lie, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. And of course, we still need to obey the Ten Commandments. That's God's everlasting moral law. From our perspective, it's helpful to look back and separate things into man-made tradition we don't have to do, ceremonial law that's now been fulfilled by Christ, and then the abiding moral law that we need to obey. But for a Jewish Christian, it was all lumped in together. It was all just stuff you have to do. Just like when you get up in the morning, you don't think, well, some of the things I have to do today are just tradition. It's just the way I was raised. And some of the things I do today, well, those are going to be applications of the Ten Commandments. You don't think that. You just get up in the morning and you think of things you have to do. Well, in the same way, the Jewish Christians didn't always take it all apart. They just thought of all the things they have to do. And those things were important. The things you have to do in life are important. I have never said, I would never say, that what you have to do isn't important. Obeying God is important. Living for Jesus is important. Obeying the Ten Commandments is important. All the things you have to do are important. What Jesus has done on the cross is important. What you have to do is important. The question is, how do you put those two things together? If you start with your own obedience, if your focus is on the things you have to do, that'll never get you to Jesus. If you begin by trying to obey the Ten Commandments, that'll never get you Jesus because we're not good enough. Trying to obey the Ten Commandments will never get you Jesus. But if you start with Jesus, trusting Jesus will empower you and enable you to obey the Ten Commandments. Both are important. What Jesus has done is important. What you have to do are important. But you don't want to put the cart before the horse. If I start with and prioritize what I have to do, that will never get me Jesus. But if I start with Jesus, if I trust Jesus, he will empower me and strengthen me by his Spirit. He will change me to enable me to live the Christian life and to obey the Ten Commandments. Trusting Jesus will enable you to follow the Ten Commandments. Look what Paul says. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now he's going back to when these people were first converted. And he reminds them that was a supernatural event. God's Spirit came into their life. God came into their life and made them new. God came into their life and changed them. And Paul says, now how did that happen? Was it that you were so good, you just tried so hard and you obeyed so well that God gave you a Spirit? Of course not. Paul was there. He's the one who first told them about Jesus. He saw them converted. He knows how it happened. He told them about Jesus and they believed the message by faith. And then God gave them the Spirit. They didn't receive the Spirit by doing good. They received the Spirit by faith in Jesus. And now Paul wants you to see that you grow as a Christian the same way you first became a Christian. By faith in Jesus. Now, if someone professes to be a Christian, but then falls into all kind of immoral lifestyle, you might question whether that person's really a believer. Okay? You would have reason to question that. And that is what some of these Jewish Christians were concerned about. Those people who are Gentiles, they're not Jewish, they have come from a very immoral background. They're professing Jesus, but what if they fall back into immorality? That's serious. And if someone did, you would question, well, maybe they don't really trust Jesus. That wasn't the danger these Jewish Christians were doing, however. Their problem is they were falling back into living as if their life was based on works. And that causes Paul to at least question their salvation. He says, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. In other words, just like if a person professed to be a Christian but was living a very immoral life, you'd say, I don't know if that person is really trusting Jesus. If someone is living as if it's all about their own works and their own deeds, Paul would say, I don't know if that person is really trusting Jesus. Because we're supposed to live the Christian life the same way we first became a Christian, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. You never outgrow your need for God's Spirit. Let's say you learn to ride a bicycle. Okay? You start with training wheels. Maybe you need your mom and dad to get you on the bike. Maybe they have to walk along and help you balance. But after a while, you outgrow that. You learn to ride your bike on your own. You don't need the training wheels anymore. You don't need mom and dad anymore. But it's different when you learn to drive a car. You don't outgrow the need for the engine. If anything, growing as a driver, you grow in appreciating what's under the hood. You know, when you first learn to drive, you're just thinking about turning on the radio, you know, the air conditioning, going to see your friends. As you mature as a driver, you learn to respect and appreciate and listen to the engine under the hood. Well, that's what it's like as a Christian. You don't outgrow your need for the Holy Spirit. Thanks, I got it. I could take it from here. No, as a Christian, you grow in your need, your awareness of how much you need to depend on God's Spirit. Paul says, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Are you thinking you needed God's Spirit to change you and make you a Christian, but now you can do it yourself? He says, no. You're going to grow as a Christian the same way you became a Christian. You don't outgrow your need for God's Spirit. In fact, growing is learning how much I need God's Spirit. I simply can't obey God's law without God's Spirit. Now, whenever you say that God's blessings and peace are free, there's always that concern. Are you saying it doesn't matter how you live? Of course not. It's absolutely important that you live and obey God's law. But how can you do that? The only way you can obey God's law is by faith in Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. God's law is spiritual, and he isn't just concerned about outward, external acts. God cares about the heart. And we just aren't who we ought to be by ourselves. The only way we can obey God the way we ought to is by trusting in Jesus. And as we trust in him, he fills you with his Spirit, and he grows you, and he changes you from the inside out, and he empowers you, and he enables you to obey God's will. Yes, you can grow as a Christian, but you don't do it in your own strength. You do it in the strength of Jesus Christ and his Spirit. Okay? You need to trust Jesus to empower you by his Spirit to obey God's commands. Paul is concerned that we see this morning that you grow as a Christian the same way you became a Christian. That is, by faith. And those who live that way, those who live by faith, are blessed. Paul says, verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Okay. Maybe you accept that I need God's Spirit to fulfill the law. I need God's Spirit to be the person I ought to be. Well, how do you get God's Spirit? By being good? Try your hardest? Do your best, and then maybe God will give you a Spirit? No, of course not. You receive God's Spirit by faith, by looking to Jesus. And then Paul drops the A-bomb, okay, the Abraham bomb. He's talking to Jewish Christians who would pride themselves in the fact they were Jewish, Abraham was the great respected father of the faith. And Paul reminds them, Abraham was saved by faith. And Abraham lived by faith. He quotes from the Hebrew scriptures, from the book of Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, if you remember, you can go back and read the book of Genesis. In many ways, Abraham was not a righteous man. He was at times dishonest. He was surprisingly selfish. And there were times that Abraham did some things that we find shocking. And yet, when God came to him and made a great promise to him, Abraham believed God's promise. He trusted the Lord. And it says, God reckoned that faith as righteousness. That is, even though in his life Abraham had not been a righteous person, he was trusting in the Lord and God's promise, and God credited that to him as righteousness, which is what we talked about last week, that when you trust in the Lord, your guilt is placed on Jesus. Why Jesus went to the cross. And then the record of all Christ's righteousness is credited to your account, so that when God looks at you in Christ, he sees all the righteousness of Jesus. God looks on you and he says, well done. He looks on you and he's pleased. He looks on you and he sees you as forgiven and declared righteous. We call that justification by faith. Okay? Abraham was saved or justified by faith. But Abraham also lived by faith. If you remember the circumstances, and we read some of this morning, that God had promised Abraham that he would have many descendants, as many as the sands of the sea, as many as the stars in the sky. But Abraham couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't make it happen. He wasn't able to have a descendant because his wife was barren. And Abraham tried all sorts of things. He tried to take another woman, but Abraham couldn't do it. Here was God's plan for his life, and Abraham couldn't do it. And then God comes to Abraham again, and he says, in effect, I will do it. I will do it through you. And that's when we're told Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's not only that Abraham was saved by faith, but Abraham learned to live by faith. God did through Abraham what Abraham himself couldn't do. God did through Abraham what Abraham couldn't do in his own strength. God worked through Abraham to provide him a son and then many generations. Abraham wasn't just saved by faith, he lived by faith. And so Paul is telling us this morning, Abraham was a man of faith. And anyone who lives by faith is a child of Abraham. You know, the problem is, and one of our problems is that in our hearts, we don't really think, at least sometimes, we don't think God can be trusted. I think that's the fear. Nothing comes more difficult to us than faith. Because there's a fear that, what if I trust Jesus and he doesn't give me a spirit? What if I trust Jesus and he doesn't grow me? What if I trust Jesus and he doesn't change me? Wouldn't it be better if I just try to do it myself? Part of us, at least in our hearts, we don't think God can be trusted. We think, I can do it better on my own. And so we start the day with my list of responsibilities, and I just try to do it because I have too much trust in myself and too little faith in God. I know I often have a suspicion that maybe God can't be trusted. It's true that when you say that God's blessings and peace are free, some people will abuse that. And some people will use that as an excuse to disobey God. But if your desire is to disobey God, any excuse will do. But if you saw someone living a reckless, immoral life, you would never think to yourself, that person's just trusting Jesus too much. Because you know instinctively, trusting Jesus isn't the problem. Trusting Jesus never produces sin. Trusting Jesus never produces disobedience because Jesus can be trusted. And when you trust him, he really will give you his spirit, and he really will grow you, and he really will change you, and he will wean us off of our self-trust and more win us to trusting in him. Christ can be trusted. And as you look to him, he really will grow you, and he really will change you. And that's our hope. When we say that God's blessings and peace are free, one of the greatest blessings we're talking about is the blessing of God's Spirit to live in you and to change you. When we say God's blessings and peace are free, that doesn't mean so you go live any way you want. One of God's greatest blessings is the blessing of God's Spirit to live in you and grow you and change you. And so the way you grow, the way you make progress is by looking to Jesus. There are times when I think, Lord, I am so slow to grow, and I just can't do this right. But you know what? God is more powerful than my sin. You know, sometimes it's just amazing. I can't believe how stubborn I am or how impatient I am or whatever. And no matter how bad it is, Jesus is more powerful than that. Maybe I can't overcome my sin. Jesus can. And Jesus will. He can be trusted. And as you look to him, he will change you and he will grow you. He really will do it by his Spirit. And if you're living that way, if you're trusting the Lord, then you're a child of Abraham, whether you're Jewish or not. Paul says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then, it's those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The Jewish Christians were concerned about those Gentiles who weren't physically Jewish. And they weren't following all the Jewish traditions. And Paul says, Abraham was a man of faith. And if you're a person of faith, then you're one of us. You're one of God's people. You're a child of Abraham, whether you're Jewish or not. He says, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Paul is simply saying, this has always been God's plan. That even at the very beginning, even back when God chose Abraham, he said, Abraham, in you all the nations are going to be blessed. Not just Jewish people, but all the families of the earth, all the nations. And so Paul concludes this morning by saying, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We'll see next time that just trying harder, just beating yourself up, just trying to be good enough, that's no way to live. It's not a blessed life. In fact, Paul will call it a cursed life. But there is a blessed life. The Christian life is a blessed life. As you keep your eyes on Jesus, as you look to Jesus, as you learn more and more to rely on Jesus, as you trust in Jesus, as you think about Jesus, as you talk to Jesus, as you keep your eyes on Jesus, the Spirit more and more will grow you. He will change you. He'll enable you to grow. He'll empower you to do things that you couldn't do before. And not only that, you will be blessed. Jesus Christ can be trusted. And the more you look to him, and the more you trust him, he will bless you. That is the gospel. That is the good news, is that Jesus died on the cross for this very purpose, to take the penalty for our guilt, our pride, our sin, so that God's blessing and peace might come to you for free. And that includes the blessing of God's Spirit working in you, growing you, and changing you. And so as you keep your eyes on Jesus, more and more the Spirit will enable you to grow, and you will be blessed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, We all need to grow. We all need to grow. And yet, so often, we don't grow the way we want to, or we don't always see ourselves growing. And we pray, oh Lord, you'd help us to put our eyes on you and keep our eyes on you and look to you. We know, Lord, that your Spirit is powerful. Your Spirit is able to change us. You are able to make us more and more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Help us to live by faith in you, that we might know the fullness of your blessings that you have bought for us. We pray, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.